Take your Bibles, turn to Joshua, Joshua chapter number 9 in the Word of God as we examine the wiles of the devil. And tonight, this morning, rather, we're not giving glory to his devices, but rather drawing attention and seeing the victory that is found in Jesus. We go to the book of Joshua, a book that teaches and typifies the New Testament victorious Christian life. And Israel, as they cross over that Jordan, they come to the promised land, but the promised land has some problems. And how many of you know in the Christian life you're going to face some trials and troubles? And they face what we face every day, the world, the flesh, and the devil. They come to Jericho, that picture of the world, and of course they go to Rahab and try to win those out from the world, and Rahab tries to win her family. And every day as we walk in this world in obedience to Him, we may look a little different and peculiar, but we're walking in obedience to the Lord, and God gets the victory over the world. In chapter number 7, we saw how through Ai, they were dealing with the flesh. And how when there's sin in the camp, when there's sin that's not been dealt with, we are defeated every time, and we have to deal with our Achans before we can defeat our AIs. And what a picture of our war against the flesh. And then we come to chapter number 9. We're looking really at the deceit that the devil brings in this attack of, really, this infiltration of the men of Gibeon. Now, it's very interesting that in the battles of Jericho and the battle of Ai and really dealing with the Gibeonites, God gives them different directions on these different attacks. With the Jericho, there were some walls, and they weren't supposed to speak for 6 days. On the seventh, they were to shout. In Ai, they were sending in some groups to draw out people from Ai, and then they were to burn down that which was on the inside differently. It said nothing about what they were to say. And then in Jericho, they were supposed to burn everything, but bring the metals to the Lord. And Ai, they could keep all the spoils. That tells me this, that God has different methods at different times to accomplish His purpose. Our way of fighting the world, our way of fighting the flesh and the devil may be different. And there may be different attacks that the enemy brings our way. And just because we got the victory one day, one way, doesn't mean we're going to get victory today the same way. We have to address the obstacles that are in our path through obedience to what God is leading and God is guiding every step of the way. So many wonderful pictures in the book of Joshua to learn from. Just last week, I was talking to someone after the service, and I missed this one. Because in Jericho, they were supposed to give everything to God. In Ai, they could keep it. And the individual said, yeah, that's, the church member said, that's a picture of the first fruits. You give God the first fruits and honor Him with the substance, and then you can keep the rest. And understand, that's a picture of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Then all these things shall be added unto you. Give God what's first, and God allows us as He to experience, be blessed with the rest. So many tremendous pictures. Even the name Joshua is the Hebrew equivalent of Jesus. Jehovah saves in the Word of God. But one thing that I found as I studied the book of Joshua, we're moving through this book, is there's something that happens just about every time. There's a pattern in Joshua. When Joshua goes to the Lord in prayer, before he does anything else, he's directed and he's protected. But when he fails to seek God in His will and His word, what happens? He falls and fails, just like you do and just like we do every single time. Dr. John R. Rice put it this way, all of our failures are prayer failures. And we need time with God. We need direction from God. We need His power and His purpose as we walk through this world. Now, I want us to look at what happens here in chapter number 9 with these inhabitants of Gibeon. Notice verse number 1. The Bible says, and it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills, and in the valleys, and in the coast of the great sea over against Lebanon, the Hittite, and the Amorite, the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite, I said in the first service, the Termite as well, and the Pepsilite, and whatever else you want there, heard thereof. All the ites are gathered together. Notice verse 2. They gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua, with Israel, with one accord. Now it's interesting when the enemies of God unite together against the cause of God. I don't want to spend much time here, but it's as we watch what happens in a world, the world won't get along in a lot of things, but they'll get along against the things of God. And here, the enemy, while God has different methods, the enemy has different methods as well. He'll try to be like the roaring lion, walking about seeking whom he may devour. They'll unite in order to intimidate. That's what the devil will try to do. He'll try to unite the world against us, unite the enemies of God against the person of God to intimidate. A lot of times that happens in countries where you cannot preach the gospel, and to proclaim the name of Jesus means death. And so as a roaring lion in fear, he tries to paralyze a believer. But if he cannot be successful in intimidating, he is not only a roaring lion, he's a subtle serpent. And he'll not only try to intimidate, he'll try to infiltrate. These are the methods of the devil. This is the schemes and the wiles of the devil. Look at verse number 3. One country defects. One group defects. Look at verse 3. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, or I in the Hebrew, verse 4, they did work wadily. Now, I just love that word, wadily, okay? I had to practice it a few times, you know, just to even say it right. But it's just a good old word. It even sounds sneaky, doesn't it? You're going to say it kind of like wadily, okay? So it's, and I can't help it. You know, we had Rocky in the announcement, so we got Looney Tunes, I guess, now as well. So I think of Wile E. Coyote, all right? That's where the word comes from, Wile E. Yeah, and this, remember Wile E. Coyote? Anybody watch cartoons as a kid? Okay, so remember him. He's always after who? The Roadrunner. In every episode, you can't help but feel sorry for this man. But listen, every episode, he's scheming with these different contraptions. You know, the bird seed and little temptations. And then he has his little contraptions. He's Wile E. Coyote. And he's trying to catch the Roadrunner. But every single time it seems to backfire on him. Now, by the way, that's the truth with the devil. He's out to steal, kill, and destroy. But I read the back of the book and we win. The Bible says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever. I like that song that they were singing about the devil and how when he comes against us, reminds us of our past. We, in a sense, we remind him of his future. He's a defeated foe. We're not afraid of the enemy this morning. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. He's a roaring lion to intimidate, and he's a subtle serpent to infiltrate. And so today as we stand, God has given us the ability to withstand the wiles of the devil. And don't you want some victory today? See, the book of Joshua is a book of victory. It's a book of possessing the promised land and stepping out and doing what God has called us to do. Now, it's interesting, this word wadily is found first in Genesis chapter 3, describing the serpent. Genesis 3, verse 1. Now, the serpent was more subtle, wilily, than any beast of the field which the Lord had made. Ephesians 6, verse 11 speaks of the wiles of the devil. That word in the Greek is methodia. The devil has methods. He has a strategy. There's schemes. The devil today is not only a roaring lion to intimidate. He is a slithering, subtle serpent trying to infiltrate, to trick, to lie, to masquerade in a move to destroy your life. Here in Joshua 9, six kingdoms unite against Israel, but the Hivites, that's the men of Gibeah, they're a part of the kingdom of the Hivites, or the Hivites. These begin to come together. The only group that seemingly didn't have a king, they had a group of elders. They decided it wasn't wise to stand against the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Jehovah. They saw what happened and heard what happened to Jericho and Ai. And apparently they knew enough about the commands of God. We're going to see later on, they knew what Moses had said. They knew what happened in Egypt. So they come up with a plan to deceive Israel. They knew they could never beat the armies of Israel, and so they would simply join them. Now here's a wildly aspect of what the devil does. If he can't intimidate, he'll try to infiltrate. But get this, the Satan's scheme has always been syncretism. Look through the Old Testament. If you can have, if you can't deny God, at least you'll try to combine God and have the world and the flesh. And you think of all the temptations of the Old Testament was to unite them together. And here he sends in, if you can't beat them, join them. That's the mentality that Balaam did. Revelation chapter 2 tells us that Balaam talked, Balak, look, I can't curse Israel, but he can cast a stumbling block. You can come into him, and that's what will happen. The devil will try to come into our minds, into our thoughts, get us to question God, get us to question his word. I think about in the Garden of Eden, that temptation. Remember how the devil went to Eve and he said, hath God said? He didn't say God did not say, or it doesn't matter what God said. He said, did God really say? He'll get us to question. His lies will get us to question God's word. And then get us to question what God said and what will happen. We'll feel like we're missing out. The temptation for sin is offered. He said, the Lord knows, Eve, when you take of that tree, you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Do you hear that temptation? Remember when the golden calf was presented to Israel and Aaron didn't say we're refusing to worship the God of heaven and we're going to worship the golden calf. No, he said this golden calf, he branded golden calf worship as worship to the Lord. And all throughout the Word of God, we find infiltration. We find syncretism and combining of the things of God and the things of the world. And Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon. So here's what happens. These men of Gibeah, some say the Hivites were headquartered in Turkey, but their fortress city of Gibeon, was where their mighty men were. These were giants. These were the giants in the land. A city much larger than Ai, filled with more ferocious fighters than Jericho. They knew they could never beat the armies of Israel. So they concocted a plan to pretend they were ambassadors from a far country when really they were just 25 miles away. That's like the distance from here to Nightdale. Notice what they did. They put on old clothes, Joshua chapter 9. They carried old bottles and moldy bread and they came just kind of straggling into the camp of Israel, verse 6, and they can almost kind of see them. This is an acting troop. We be come from a far country. Now therefore, make ye a league with us. Deuteronomy chapter number 7 says, when you enter into the land, when you come to the Jebusites and the Gibeonites and list out the Hivites, don't make a covenant with them. But now later in Deuteronomy 20, they're told to make peace with those that weren't in the land, but those who are outside of the land. So knowing the Word of God, and the devil is an expert at this, knowing God's Word, they take advantage and they twist it in such a way to get what they want. And Joshua fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker. The wiles did what the walls and the weapons were unable to do. And maybe you've been successful over in Jericho. You fought and you're battling the world. Maybe you're battling your flesh, but it seems like the devil just gets you every single time with his wiles, with his lies, with his trickery. And so this morning we're going to expose the wiles of the devil. And I believe there's an interesting parallel here in Joshua chapter number 9. Look first at their deception. They lie about the place they're from. Look at verse number 6. And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal and said unto him and to the men of Israel, we become from a far country, therefore make ye a league with us. And the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, peradventure ye dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you? Don't you see? They almost have a suspicion here. There's an element of suspicion they should have followed up on. What if you're lying to us? Ding, 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 right? What if you really live here? We can't make a league with you. We're told of God not to do this. Verse number 9, so they're ready for it. Verse 8, and they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye? And from whence come ye? Verse 9, and they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come. Do you see how they evade the answer? Be very careful of people who equivocate, can't get you a straight answer, can't look you in the eye. Be very careful of people that just don't seem, they seem to say the same thing. The Bible calls that being double-tongued. And that's what they're doing. Get a straight question, where are you from? Oh, a very far country. What are you doing here? Oh, we're your servants. They never said, we're Hivites down the road from Gibeon. But they evade and they equivocate. Have you ever just got a sense when you're speaking to something or about to do something and the question's there? Like, I wonder what this is all about. Follow up on those little leadings of the Spirit. Follow up on areas of discernment. God has given us wisdom to follow through and ask the right questions. And a question stirs the conscience. An accusation hardens the will. But they don't even answer the question. By the way, when we have a question, when the devil plants a question in our mind, we should answer the question. Don't let that question lie. Carry it through. Answer the question. And that's what happens. The devil doesn't want you to ask questions or answer questions. God is not the author of confusion. And here's the confusion. They don't know where they're from. They never said where they're from. They never said what they were doing. They lied about the place they're from by just not saying anything. We're from a very far country. Really? 25 miles away. They lied about the purpose of their visit. They said, we've come here as your servants. Look at verse 9. Thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we've heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt. Really? Egypt? 40 years ago? With the crossing of the Red Sea, that's why you've come? It's convenient that they left out Jericho and Ai, isn't it? Look at verse number 10. That would have given them away. Verse 10. In all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were before Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore, our elders and all the inhabitants of our country, again, evading, spake to us, saying, take victuals with you for the journey. Go to meet them and say unto them, we are your servants. Therefore, now make ye a league with us. They're lying. They're lying about the place they're from. They're lying about the purpose of their visit. They're lying about their prestige, pretending to be special ambassadors. They're cloaking their lie in religious language. They're not afraid to use the name of God to reinforce their lie. And you may be here thinking this morning, that'll never happen to me. Yes, it does. People come to your door, these Christian cults, and they'll look nice and they'll act nice and they'll even use the name of Jesus. But listen, if they're wrong about the gospel, if they're wrong about Jesus being the only way to heaven, they're wrong about everything else. The Apostle Paul said, if someone from heaven comes to you and preaches another gospel, Maranatha, anathema, let him be accursed. But preacher, they're just so nice. The Mormons just live such a moral lifestyle. But if they don't know Jesus Christ, they're false teachers and on their way to hell. They don't have a gospel of grace. They're on their way to hell. The Kingdom Hall, they're doing more work than many others are doing. If they're wrong about Jesus being God, the Son, and the Son of God, they're wrong about everything. This is what happens. The devil deceives. He has a little bit of truth. The best lie has a little bit of truth to it. You say, why are there so many denominations? Why are there so many options? Why are there so many presentations? Because the devil is smart enough, scheming enough to come up with so many different options where all of them are so close, so now you're confused. So here, they come, and they're lying. Say that there's no way people would do that. It happens all the time, and Christians fall for it, hook, line, and sinker. A preacher, I saw it on Christian television. It doesn't matter if you hear it behind this pulpit. It doesn't matter if it comes from me. The question is, what does God's Word say? Well, this person seems so wonderful. Can I be very careful before you enter into any business arrangement, before you have any alliance with anybody, go to the Lord first in prayer. Follow the red flags that the Spirit lead. You say, well, God's never spoken to me. Oh, yes, He has. Have you ever heard that still small voice say, don't do that? Don't go there. Something's not right. The first service went in more detail, but I'll be careful with that. And I was 10 years old. A man came into my dad's bookstore by the name of Wade Weaver. I sat in the back of the bookstore when I was a kid. I was kind of weird. I'm still weird, I guess. But growing up in a bookstore, raised in a bookstore, I had two options. Well, three, really. I could watch Christian movies in black and white television. I could read books, or I could sing songs on the soundtracks. So when I was finished watching the Christian movies, when I was finished reading the books, I would go back to the soundtrack, and everybody sounds good in the headphones, right? So I'd get the headphones on, and I'd just be cranking away at Thank You or something by Ray Bolt, and I'd be singing away, and, Redemption Draweth Nigh. And I remember one night, it was late one night, and I'm singing on the soundtracks, and this gentleman came in, and he sat kind of next to me. We had two tape players, all right? Tape players back in the day. He began to put his headphones on, and he began to sing, and I remember thinking, well, that's what cows sound like in the field. He was bad. And I thought I was pretty bad, but he was really bad. He was way off. But he stayed all night. So in the evening, he asked my parents for a ride. Old Wade Weaver. And so we got in the car, and on the way there, he kept talking about himself, how wonderful he was. And I'm thinking, he's talking about how he had a concert coming up with Gold City. And I'm thinking, really? 10 years old, I'm thinking, I don't think this guy's got a concert going on with Gold City. And he said that I'm gonna think about inviting Bill Gaither in the cathedrals. And he had posters that he wanted my dad to put up at the bookstore with about 15 different gospel groups. And there's Wade Weaver in the bottom with just his photo, in the bottom there. Good price of $30 a ticket. So I remember thinking, something's off with this fella. He was a con man is what he was. But in my dad's bookstore, he had some preachers that worked for him. And he actually went into these churches and preached. One lady at one of the churches, before he went to the preach, said, God spoke to me last night. I had a dream about this man. He's a phony and fake. Don't have him. But he seems so nice. He seems so kind. And we put the banner poster up, and I think we sold some tickets. And it was not just our store. It was all the other stores. And, of course, you can see all these gospel groups and Wade Weaver at the bottom for a certain amount of money. That seems like a pretty good deal. When we found out he was a phony and a fake, he was a con man traveling from town to town. I think he went to prison right after that. A con man putting on a show, trying to get attention. But sometimes those things you need to follow through. Listen, there's Wade Weavers walking over this world. Let me tell you, the devil is not going to come to you and say, I am the devil and I want you to worship me. Here's what he'll do. He'll try to infiltrate your mind in your thought. I'm not trying to cause fear this morning. I'm just saying that's how the devil works. He tries to fool you. The Word of God says in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 14, Satan is transformed into an angel of light. So you have to ask the questions. You have to find the answer. Can I say before you enter into a dating relationship, you ought to consult the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, it says, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. The Bible's clear when the Scripture says we ought not to be doing that. If they don't know Jesus, they need to come to Jesus before they know you in a relationship with that much alliance tied to. That's what Scripture says. Well, preacher, you don't know. He's nicer than, he's handsome. He has to be from God. She's so beautiful. It's like she fell from heaven. Yeah, that's a fallen angel, okay? She doesn't know Jesus. Check under the hair. There might be horns there. I'm telling you, be careful. There are people that entered into relationships where they'll say just enough to deceive. They'll cloak their lie in religious language to infiltrate. And that's what the devil does. He infiltrates in a move to masquerade, to bring you down and destroy your life. Notice, they tried to get the Israelites to judge them based on appearance. Some people look good. Look at verse 12. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day that we came forth to go unto you. We got it hot and fresh from Flo's kitchen 40 years ago. And it was good. But look at it. But now behold, it is dry and moldy. And these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they be rent. And these our garments and our shoes are become old by reason of very long journey. Liar, liar, pants on fire. That's in the Hebrew text right there. You see the wording? You can almost tell. Very long journey. Evading questions. Just kind of going about it and being dramatic. And have you ever been in a situation like that? Well, you know there's something going on. Be careful. We are vulnerable. Now what happens? Why were they vulnerable to this deception? They had just experienced a tremendous victory. Do you see a pattern in the book of Joshua? Joshua fit the battle around Jericho and the walls come tumbling down. What happens? Next battle. We got this, God. 3,000 soldiers. They'll take care of it. What happens? They fall flat. After Ai, they get the victory. They go to Gerizim and go to Ebal, and they're shouting amen and the curses and the blessings right there in the valley of decision. And it's a wonderful time of renewal, a wonderful time of revival. They took God's word and inscribed it on stones. They're on fire for God. Gibeonites show up. We've got this, God. Here's what happens in your Christian life. After a time of victory, after a time of renewal, after a time of revival and working of God, you are vulnerable for the attack of the enemy. And the devil doesn't necessarily only attack when you're down and out. He attacks when you're up and in. He's trying to bring you down. Be very careful. The devil's on the move. Number two, we are most vulnerable to the wiles of the devil when we make decisions based on appearance. And that's what the devil tried to do to Eve. It seems good to the eye. It seems good to the taste. And so I'll take of it. It seemed good, but not everything is what it seems. What does God say about it? Look at verse number 14. Examine the evidence. Here's the bread. It's moldy. Here's our wineskins. They're cracked. Here's our shoes. Yeah, you put it on in the makeup artist room, okay? Look at verse 14. And the men took of their victuals. The word took means to receive as evidence, and they studied it. But notice what the word of God says. And they asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. When you operate without going to the mouth of God, the word of God, when you operate without praying, we operate on your own mindset, you will fall and fail every time. Well, preacher, I feel it. Wrong. You're right there. I don't care what else you say. You're wrong. I feel this is the right thing to do. It seems like it's the right thing to do. The Bible says twice, has to remind us in Judges, that there was a way that, there, that the man did that which was right in their own eyes. Proverbs says twice that there's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. Well, I'm just following my heart. Do not follow your heart. Jeremiah 17:9, for the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Don't follow your heart. Follow the heart of God. Be a David that sought after the heart of God, a man after God's own heart. If you make decisions about what you think and what you feel and what looks right and feels right and seems right, you'll make a mistake every single time. You'll fall for his lies. Somebody will come up with a lie from the enemy and you'll believe it. It sounds good. Just start watching some YouTube junk. Start watching some things against God. If you don't chase down the questions, you'll begin denying and questioning and doubting God's word. But so the devil gets in, getting you to question God and try to discredit God and think that you're smarter than God. And then what happens is that you begin to walk away and you're infiltrated in your heart and your mind, and the devil gets in to take you out. He does it every time. And all they needed to do was pray. Look at verse 15. And Joshua made peace with him and made a league with them to let them live. And the princes of the congregation swear unto them. And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard they were neighbors. Have you ever just been conned? And then when you find out you've been conned, it's like, ow. Ouch. I shared back in, I think it's far enough now to share it. It was back in Christmas when we saw an advertisement on Facebook. $140-some for a playground. Right before Christmas, somebody put it on Facebook, an advertisement, $147 for a playground. And we looked at it, that's a pretty good deal. Now, in the back of our mind, we're thinking, it's too good to be true, it probably is, okay? But it sounded like a pretty good plan, so we went to purchase it, to look at the PayPal. It said Ricardo down in Mexico, and we never got our playground. I'll tell you, we got conned. Have you ever been there and you're going, ow, ouch? Maybe y'all are perfect, never made a mistake in your life. I understand that, but I just had the tendency sometimes to believe people. What happens? They got conned and heard that they were neighbors. They dwelt among them. The children of Israel journeyed and came into their cities. Can you imagine this? Hey, wait a second, pal. What are you doing here? This is where I live. The truth was 3 days away. All these cities, and they had made a covenant with them. Can you imagine how foolish they may have felt? Now, why did they fall into this deception, and what did they do after this deception? Here's the problem. God gave them all these cities, and now they weren't able to take any of the possessions. They missed out on what God had for them. But here's the true temptation. See, I don't believe necessarily the temptation was for Israel to make an alliance with the Gibeonites. We're going to see that God works that out. The temptation now was for Israel to respond wrongly after they had made a covenant. And the devil sometimes will tempt you, and you'll think it's over and it's done. I've made a mistake. Might as well keep going. Tell you what, after I paid Ricardo $140, I didn't send him another $500. After I went to one timeshare presentation, I'm going to another, I'll tell you that. Listen, you can fool me once, amen. Shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. That's what's in the text here. And so they're fooled. Now they're faced with the real decision. What do you do after you fall into temptation? What do you do after you're deceived? What do you do after you make a mistake? That's what's really important in the text. See, here's what happened. They had to realize why they fell. The third point I want to get you today is this. We are most vulnerable to the wiles of the devil when we fail to seek God for guidance. They didn't pray about it. Well, it makes sense. Not a big deal. We took Jericho. We took Ai. Gibeon. They got old bread. It looks good. Seems good. Let's not ask God about it. When you fail to pray, you're going to make a mistake. And if I could overemphasize one statement, that's the statement today. You fail to pray, you'll fall every time. Prayer imparts wisdom. James 1 verse 5. God says, if any man lack wisdom, can I have a hand raised? Any man lack wisdom? I'm here. Can I? That includes you. That includes me. I remember my sister was planning to sing, to lead a Sunday school lesson, and that verse was in some kid's song. And the first time it actually made sense to me. It was a weird little kid's song. Can't remember it. It's like, if you need wisdom, pray. If you lack wisdom, ask of God who gives you some today. Or something really silly like that. And I'm like, wow, that is very simple, isn't it? If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally and abradeth not, the Bible says. So if you go to God and ask for wisdom, he'll give it to you every single time. Have you asked him for wisdom? When's the last time you asked God for wisdom? If you ask, you shall be given. Prayer imparts wisdom. Prayer brings peace. Well, I can't get any peace. The Bible says in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, that we are to pray our supplication with thanksgiving, and the peace of God guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. I can't get peace about it. Pray, pray. Pray until you get peace. Pray until you know God gives you wisdom. Prayer keeps us from sin. Matthew 26, 41, prayer reveals the will of God, the mind of God, the heart of God. Luke 11, verse 9. Prayer defeats the devil. Luke 22, 32. We're going tonight on prayer. We're going to start a prayer time at 5:30 next week. We're going to start this at 5:30. God says, my house shall be called a house of prayer. We need to be praying more. We need to be seeking God's face more. And the reason why we have not is because we ask not. And we're wondering why we fail and we fall in the Christian life is because every time, every failure is a prayer failure. That's what happened to Israel. That's what happened to us. It happens to us. Did you pray about it? Did you seek God's will about it? Notice there's defenses. Here's the good news. God has given us defenses. Now, can I reveal this today? First of all, before we get to the defense, I want to see this is the devil's attack for you. This is what the devil wants you to do. Can we reveal the wiles of the devil this morning? Number one, the devil wants you ignorant of God's will. If he can get you out of the Word, I think that old book D.L. Moody wrote in there, this book will keep you from sin, or the sin will keep you from this book. If he can get you ignorant of God's will, he's got you. First step. Number two, impatient with God's will. I know God said it, but I'm not feeling it, okay? If he can get you independent of God's will, I'm going to do what I want to do. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it anyways. Then he can get you in the place where he will be indicted by God's will. Here's what the devil knows. He is a defeated foe. How many know that's to be true? Amen? He knows that one day he's going to spend eternity in hell. He's trying to fight it, but he knows that he's defeated. Here's all the enemy is trying to do. He's trying to drag you in defeat. He's trying to drag as many people as he possibly can into destruction. But I'm here to tell you today, there is hope to be found in Jesus Christ. But that's the enemy's attack. Notice their defenses. Warren Wiersbe gave some defenses against the enemy. Here's our defenses. Number one, our defense is always the inspired Word of God. One offensive weapon in the armor of God, and that's the sword of the Spirit. When Jesus was tempted, he said, "It is written." The word is gegreptai. It was written. It is written. It forever stands written. A perfect passive participle. God's word is what you need to stand strong. I don't know what to do. What does God say about it? I don't know where to go. What does God say about it? This is the way I feel. What does God say about it? The inspired word of God. Number two, the grace of God that God gives. Number three, the indwelling Spirit of God. Number four, intercession by the Son of God. I'm glad He has given to me His Word. He's given to me His grace. He's given to me His Spirit. And He's given to me His Son. We have the victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the defenses. The greatest way to defend against the attack of a lie is simply the truth. And the truth is Jesus Christ revealed in the Word of God. Empowered, revealed by the Spirit of God. The wiles of the devil to intimidate with the six kings. The wiles of the devil to infiltrate with the Gibeonites. But the ultimate wile of the devil, get this, was to tempt Joshua to be just like the Gibeonites. To tempt Joshua and Israel to go against God's word. Look at it. Verse number 18, and the children of Israel smote them not because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. And the congregation murmured against the princes, but all the princes said unto the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now therefore we may not touch them. This we will do to them. And we will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath which we swear unto them. See, Joshua chapter number 9 is not a lost victory. It's not a lost battle. It's a won battle. Because the true battle was not necessarily whether or not they united with the Gibeonites. The true battle was what they would do after they united with the Gibeonites. And I want you to see this. This is where the Lord has you today. And the devil may think that may have you in a position where you think you're already defeated. You might as well keep paying the man from Mexico. You might as well continue in sin. You might as well continue doing after you've been conned from this person. You might as well just continue on. That's the devil's lie. It's time to stop and turn around and go back to Jesus. It's time to start obeying God. Look at the Word of God, their direction. They recognized their role, number one. Number two, they regarded what was right. There's an old statement, you know it's true. Two wrongs don't make a right. The Gibeonites may not have been honest with their word, but God expected the Israelites to keep theirs. You say, well, I don't know how that makes sense. They could not break a covenant. They made their covenant. God wanted them to keep it. There was something more important than the deception. And that was Israel's loyalty to the Lord. And when they proved their loyalty to the Lord, guess what? The devil was defeated. Because had they broken their word, I want you to get this, had they broken their word, here's what I would have felt like doing. Showing up at Gibeon going, you guys lied to me, so here's what we're going to do. Wipe you all out. That's what I would have felt like doing. But they had made a covenant with God and with these people. And here's what I want you to understand. They rebuked what was wrong. But they reinforced what was right. They guarded themselves and their responsibility. And in the wisdom of God, here's what they do. They don't destroy the Gibeonites. They bring them into the tabernacle to be the cutters of wood and the carriers of the water. They had the Gibeonites around God's word, God's work, and God's worship to draw the Gibeonites into relationship with Jesus Christ. What do you do when you mess up? You make the best out of a bad situation. And I'm glad today there's a God who blesses our mess ups. I'm glad today there's a God who gives us the second chance to infinity chances this side of eternity. I'm glad there's a God who takes our mistakes and is able to make something beautiful out of it. I think about David and Bathsheba. That's a terrible mistake, a terrible sin. But what came from that? Solomon. What came from that? Jesus Christ. I think about all the examples in Scripture. And it's not done when you're defeated, when you're deceived by the devil. Don't throw in the towel. Take your mess and take it to God. to bless it and use it. That's what God does for Gibeon. That's what God will do for you. I think about Gibeon, if you have time, just a few moments. Here's what happens to Gibeon. They serve there faithfully in the tabernacle. There's no record of any rebellion. In fact, when Saul, who was raised in Gibeah, who perhaps had problems because he was a Benjamite and some racial issues, went against the Gibeonites, he was judged severely. Israel had three years of famine. One of the Gibeonites becomes one of David's mighty men with a Hebrew name God will hear, 1 Chronicles 12, verse 4. When they were taken away into Babylonian captivity, 95 of them, look at it, Nehemiah 7:25, 95 of them voluntarily returned to Israel. Nehemiah 3, verse 7, it was the men of Gibeah who rebuilt the gates. Jeremiah 28, verse 1, one of the Gibeonites becomes a prophet. And listen to this, when you make a mistake, it's not the temptation that gets you in trouble, it's what you do next after the temptation. It's not the fall, it's whether or not you get up. It's not if you've been deceived, because how many of us know today all have sinned and come short of the glory of God? If there's one person here today that said, I've never been deceived by the devil, you're a liar. All of us have been deceived with the devil. But you don't continue in that deception. You stand up and you decide to follow Jesus. Heard of a story of a man named Bob Harris. We don't have time to show his intro, but he was a real weatherman. And Bob Harris was a nationally known syndicated weatherman, and we can ask Noel about him. Maybe he studied him. I don't know, but Noel studied meteorology, so this is not Noel Bender, by the way. But Bob Harris had an 85% accuracy rate in weather reporting. And that's pretty good. The only problem with Bob Harris, he never studied meteorology. In fact, when he sent in his resume, he put down that he was a PhD in geophysics from Columbia University, but the problem was he'd never even been to Columbia University. He had a phony degree, and for years he was hired by the top agencies to be the top weatherman. Now that's the problem probably with our weather reports today, but Dr. Bob, he was known as, hired by the New York Times. We won't go there. Los Angeles Times. I was looking at it. It was actually hired by the baseball commission to deliver a report for baseball games. 10 years with a career that was just expanding until somebody just asked the question to see his credentials, and they looked into it and found out the guy was a fraud. Now, what did he do? Did he run the country? Did he run away? No, he stood up very carefully and on camera admitted his lie, on camera, publicly repented, and said I was wrong. But he said, ever since I was a kid, I wanted to be a weatherman, and I've always loved to study the maps. It's been a dream of mine. I'm sorry. He was caught, and he was fired. He took his punishment. He was fired. And until the accuracy rate, as I studied even between the services, the accuracy rate went from 85 to 87 down to back, you know, where it usually is around 12%. And they said, Bob Harris may not have a degree, but Bob Harris is good. So they gave him a call. Bob Harris was brought back in. And today, he's still operating out of his home every now and then as a weatherman on TV in New York. He's one of the top weathermen active today, broadcasting daily from Oakland, New Jersey, still forecasting to about 4 million people. That's what's wrong with the weather, I guess, but he's given a second chance. See, the reality of the story is this. Can I just be honest with you? I kind of like the men of Gibeon. Hey, it's out there, okay? At least they were smart enough not to fight God in the battle. They knew they couldn't win the battle. I understand they pictured the devil. I know. Send me the emails later. I know. They pictured the devil in deceit, but they were smart enough to know we need to surrender to this God. We can't fight this God. And we need to be servants of His. You may have come today with the completely bad motives for coming to church. I don't know. Maybe some girl invited you, some guy invited you. Maybe you're here because you just nice, comfortable pews and it's cold outside. Maybe you don't have heat at home. I don't know. But God can take your bad motives and bring you to a place of worship bring you to a place of the Word of God, bring you to a place around the work of God. And like He did for Gibeah, God can save you. God can forgive your mess ups and your mistakes. And God can use you to be a mighty man, a mighty woman of God, a prophet, a woman who speaks for God someday. But it starts with being honest about what you are. It starts with being honest about where you've been. It's simply coming and surrendering and saying, I'll be your servant. When you've been caught, don't run. Surrender. Say, I'll serve you, Lord, for the rest of my life. Now, I'm talking to some Christians today. You've been deceived. Don't continue sending those payments to the con men. Don't continue serving the devil. You get up and say, I'm going to do what's right, no matter what. From this day forward, doesn't matter what I've done in the past, I'm alive, so I'm not defeated. God's given me a chance to get up today and do what's right before Him. Would you do that today? Would you make a decision not to fall under the wiles of the devil? Let's stand to our feet, heads bowed, eyes closed, nobody looking around.